up over here in Siman Reish Ayin Ches. Chaver says, "Mutul chavas ner b'shul sheyishin achola sheyish bo sakana." If a person is ill and there's a potential for sakana, so you're allowed to put out a candle to let him sleep. The Mishmur points out that if there's another option, if you can move the candle, moving candles just muksa. So it's better, it's more kal to move the candle than to put out the candle. To put out the candle is a mulacha, mulacha of kibui. It's a mulacha shen tzirich l'gufa. You're not planning on using the pecham. So it's considered a mulacha shen tzirich l'gufa. According to most Shonim, it's only a sidra banan. But it's a more chomer sidra banan. So it's more kal to move the muksa, to move the nair if you can. Or to move the chola if there's a bed somewhere else. You know, but if you're stuck, you're allowed to, moving the chola would be the easiest, right? If you can't move the challah, move the ner. If you can't move the ner, you can put out the ner. If you can do the kalachar yad, it's better. Kalachar yad would be like put a kli on it, so you don't directly put it out, but the oxygen kind of, if the kli is like, you know, not, you put it on the side, and eventually it goes out. It's like a gram. If the challah gets up, and he's needs light, so usually it's not pikoch nefesh mamish and need light, right? But nonetheless, there's like Yishuv Adas, just like Yulat Mechal Shabbos for a woman giving birth. She needs things. Or it says if a woman's blind, she wants light. It makes her feel good, because then people can see her. So there's a Yishuv Adas component. So for a person, a Chol HaSheyesh Basakana, we allow you even to light a candle. Because that's included in the Heter V'Koch Nefesh. It's a big look, as we've shown in V'Koch Mechab Ramah. What's the din if there's a goy there? Should you have a goy do it? So usually you think, you know, to have a guy do it, well, why do it yourself? So dafka, when it comes to pikuach nefesh, the Rambam and other Rishonim say that dafka Yisrael should do it, because people are going to think it's only mutar de goy. If there's no goy, they're going to let the guy die. Pardon?
Oh, you mean even
by pikuach nefesh? Yeah, dafka pikuach nefesh. If it's not pikuach nefesh, for sure it's better to have a guy do it. But if it's pikuach nefesh, there's a concern that if there's no, if you always use a goy and there's no goy, you're not going to do it. So the Ramah doesn't hold that way. The Ramah says if there's a goy, and it's not going to take longer, so I have the goy do it. Here, in this case, to turn the light on, where it's not really direct pikuach nefesh, it could be even for the Ramah, it's better to have a goy do it. Because it's not, you know, what's going to happen next time? You're not going to turn the light? You're not going to die if you don't turn the light. It's just the yishuv v'das. So Mela, it would make sense, Lachara, that even the Ramah would say it's better to do it with a goy, if possible. That's what the Shmir Shabbos brings it down. Now, if there's no concern of sakana, a person is sick, he has a flu. No sakana, right? So can you put out a light so he can be able to sleep? So the Mechaber only says, the cholash yesh b'sakana, or the cholash ein b'sakana. So I think we discussed in the past that l'chora, you're doing kibui, which is this is rabbanon. So we don't do it. Isur drabanan for cholah she'ein bo sakana. There's actually a big discussion about that. Can you do kibui? That's a v'shinui for a cholah she'ein bo sakana. Usually, anyway, our lights are usually LED, right? So it's only drabanan. So it wouldn't even be. Not only is makshin tzrich l'gufa, it's even less than that because it's not really fire. It's not really there's no gachelas at all. It's not that you don't need the gachelas. You know, there's no gachelas at all. So therefore, l'chora, to put out an LED light, b'shinui, it would be mutter for a chola, even she'ein bo sakana. Certainly, it's better to ask a guy to do it, right? It's better if you have a guy, you can have a guy do it. Maybe it's even mutter, I think it's what we discussed previously, to ask a guy to put out the light, just because you're not a chola at all. You just want to go to sleep. So Shechter claims that maybe anybody's a chola for sleeping. You have to go to sleep. It's hard to function if you don't sleep. You can't function normally. I don't know if that's necessarily true. Some people can sleep with the light on. It's not a big deal for them. But b'chlal, if we're talking about an LED light, so we'll have a goy to do a isur drabanan. It's a shmuz to shmuz, a mitzvah. Certainly it's a mitzvah to be able to sleep well on Shabbos. So because it's hard to say that even for a person who's not a chola, you can have a guy turn off the light for you.
You have to hint or can you just say it straight out?
I think you can say it straight out. I think you can say it straight out. But I can't. We discussed this. What did we say? Can you say it straight out? If it's mutter, I think you can say it straight out. I think. Okay, let's move on to Simon Reish Ayin Tes. This Simon is more discussions about moving a candle, which isn't so relevant, but we don't usually have candles that we're moving. But there is a halacha lemaisa relevancy to moving other items. Can you move a flashlight and light and the like? So the Chaver says, Reish Ayin Tes, Ner sheidlik bo ba'osu Shabbos, afal pisha kova osul tatla. If you have a candle that was lit, the lichter, the candelabra, is muksa, it's a papasis. V'chein mosa shemen, and likewise, if you're using oil, the oil that's left there, shenigabo b'oza shabbos, also, you can't take that oil and put it on your salad. Also, tatlo l'istavik menu b'oza shabbos. It became muksa, it was muksa ben shmashas, and he muksa for all of Shabbos. Now, the question is, why is a candle muksa? What's muksa about a flame? So, it's a little unclear. It's a little bit unclear. Chaznish tainas that it's an muksa iser, because when you move it, it's going to go out. It's muksa iser. From this, is that really true? Let's say you have like glass around it. It's not going to go out. You know, you have it in a glass case. So, is that, it's not muksa? So, Rishon Zalman said that maybe the nair is considered... since it's always in mischadesh, it's like it's not a kli. Only things that are muksa are kelim. The ner is constantly in mischadesh. It's not a kli, and therefore it's muksa. It's basically it's not so clear why a ner is muksa, why the candle is muksa. Meaning it's lit. You want to move. You see with it. So we assume that you can't move a candle on Shabbos. Either because it might go out, or because it's inherently muksa, it's like an evan, or it's not a kli. But if you have, let's say, a flashlight. A flashlight, there's no chash that's going to go out, right? And what do you mean it's not a kli? It's of course it's a kli. A flashlight is a kli. Meaning there's a bulb, and of course it's a kli. It was, you know, it's a question what the hagdar of a kli is for Hilchos Shabbos, but if it was like manufactured, chorez din of a kli, you know. So, is it mutter to move a flashlight around on Shabbos? So, the poskim are uncomfortable with it. They say, listen, a flashlight is like an air you shouldn't move. So, even though we're not really sure why, you shouldn't move a flashlight. But, like, bigger than it's hard to understand why. And one year there was a blackout here in Yerushalayim, like on Friday. It was like it was in the middle of the winter. It was like freezing cold. So, I remember in the yeshiva, we gave out flashlights. Every Shabbos flashlight. You know, they lit Shabbos candles, and you actually, it was not the real mitzvah. The Shabbos candles are going to go out. You want to go to the bathroom, you want to go to your bedroom. So we gave out, like, flashlights to everybody. So I said that, you know, B'Shas HaTzchak, you can move the flashlight on Shabbos because it's a kli, and it's not muksa, you know. So, again, the minhag is not to. The minhag is not to move flashlights, not to move, just like we don't move candles. But Meikar HaDin, it seems like there's probably a room to be Meikel. Some of the posts can want to extend that to all electric appliances. You have when they don't have guests for Shabbos, we have like a small kumkum. It's like a weekday kumkum. It has a Shabbos mode. So you press Shabbos mode, and then you can lift it up, and it has like, you know, 8 cups, 10 cups. It's not like a big kumkum. So it has a guf chimum in it. It has like a gacheles, let's say. And it doesn't affect it when you take out the water. That's the Shabbos mode. It doesn't affect it. So if you have 8 cups, 10 cups, whatever it is. So how do you use it? You pick it up and you pour from it. It's a plug-in. It's plugged into the wall, and you can move it like, you know, a foot or two, whatever. So is that muksa? Is that muksa? Why would it muksa? Because it has like a heating element in it. Or for that matter, if you have a heater, you know, one of those plug-in heaters, are you allowed to move that? Is that considered like a shalheves, like a nair? So that's on poskim or machmir. I mean, I think the minhag is to assume that that's mutter. You're allowed to move it. Certainly, let's say a heater, you can move with your foot. You can move it in a tzad. If it wasn't plugged in Erev Shabbos and it went on Shabbos on a timer, so then it's certainly not muksa because it wasn't muksa ben shmashos. But if it was on ben shmashos, some want to say it says din like a ner, and it becomes muksa. So that would be like equivalent to my small Shabbos kumkum that you can pick up. So according to that, maybe it would be aser. I think the minhag, they sell it for Shabbos. I think the people who make it assume that it's mutter. Again, there's no concern that it's going to go out, and it's certainly a kli, and therefore people are making it. But this is a discussion. Halacha l'maisa, we generally try not to move neiros on Shabbos because we consider them to be muksa. And similar with a plata. Is a plata muksa? It was on Erev Shabbos. Now, can I move it? So again, in a tzad, you can always use your elbow and move it a little bit, but maybe you shouldn't be moving it according to this opinion.
But if you need the space of where the candles are.
Right. So that's totally. If it's a klishim matl iser, so then klishim matl iser is mutl sarach kufa makomo. But something that's aser machmas atzmo, so like an even, you can't move it sarach kufa makomo. So this is a big issue. Once upon a time, people would put the Shabbos candles on the table. And then they would want to move the candles to switch the tablecloth. So how could they do that? We're going to see soon. Potentially, that's a big issue. Today, most people put their candlesticks on the side. So let's see this soon.
Yeah, potential reason why it's mutzah, because of the fact that non-lit candles are 100% mutzah?
Non-lit candles are mutzah. Then it's also a question: what's the non-lit candle a kli? Is a kli shmachta iser, or is it like makas gufo? It's just has no usage.
Yeah, no usage. Yeah.
Right, but you're saying. But what about oil and wicks? And what would you say about that?
Why would they not be mutzah?
Well, the oil is oil. I'm saying.
Because oil has another use. You use it for salad, or
right. Most people actually don't use cooking oil for.
Talking about back in the day when they use oil to see.
Right. Yeah, I hear what you're saying. So let's just, I'm trying to remember where we are. It says the Mechaber, Ner Sheid Likvo Osa Shabbos, Ava Bisha Kava, Asur L'Tatla. If it went out, even though it went out, it's Asur L'Tatla. When it didn't go out, it's certainly Asur, like we're assuming. That was muksa from the beginning. It's muksa; it retains its muksa status, and you can't use that oil. Okay, fine. The Rama says, so the Mechaber says in Beis, "Zesh Amarnu she'asul tatalo afilu tzarach kufo tzarach makom aser." It's a mamish aser, right? So even tzarach kufo, it's aser. Some say it's mutter. Some say the ner is mutter. It's like a klishim akal iser, so it's mutter l'kufu makolo. And if it's not niru dvarf, he doesn't hold of it. It says the Rama, v'yesh omrim d'mi shehu istnis v'ner ma'i salav mutter l'tzio t'havi l'idei k'gav shal rei. Some say if it's disgusting, v'machmer l'hivsir, really meaning ha'machmer y'achmer v'ha'meki l'hivsir. That's the Mishnah Berurah says. So the Rama brings a daya that if the kli that had the ner is like the kli, right? We call it ner the candle. The ner is really the kli. It's disgusting. So then it's most. It's like a graf shel rei. You're allowed to move it. Fine. Now there is a big discussion. How do you look at candlesticks? Candlesticks are often made out of silver. They're very beautiful. So it's as far as say that a candlestick is muksa. You never want to do anything with it. You have to keep it in a special cabinet, and you're very careful with it, just like a scalpel, let's say. There's another svar to say, fakeret, that it's not even a klishim akhtal iser. A person has their grandmother's candlesticks. They just look at them. It's like a beautiful piece of art that they have in their house, and they'll be willing to, let's say, they'll do some, they can use that as paperweight. But it's not a klishim akhtal iser at all. It's a klishim akhtal to beautify the house. And therefore, it's all muksa. So we have extreme deyas, is that it's muksa machmas gufo, because it's mamish chesaron kis, or it's heter gamor, or is it cancel the klishim akhtal iser, since you use it to light candles generally. So this is a big debate in the poskim, how to look at candlesticks. I think most people assume it's a klishim akhtal iser. They don't think it's mamish there's an interesting parallel debate. I don't know if you guys remember phone books. You remember phone books? Remember phone books. Okay, so different generations. So people born today are not going to remember phone books. So it's a phone book. A phone book is a huge... Is that right? Okay, I remember kids as a kid. So if you had you didn't have a baby seat, sometimes if somebody came over for Shabbos, you'd stick them on a phone book, they cross them off a little bit. So there are other usages, but fundamentally the phone book is there to tell you phone numbers. So it's a book. So it's a muksa. So it's an interesting debate in the Achronim about this. Ravadia says it's...
Wouldn't it be like reading a mechanic textbook or how to light a fire textbook on Shabbos?
Well, how to light a fire is how to light a fire. Here, it's just a bunch of numbers. So the question is, part of the question is if there's another usage. Like I was saying before, maybe a kid could sit on it. But fundamentally, it's a muksa. So Ravadia thinks it's not muksa. You're not doing any malacha. It's something that can help you do malacha. If you want to phone somebody, which is a malacha, and you want to know the number, it'll tell you the number. But that's not a kli shel makel iser. It's not. It's just a book. It's not books at all. And others argue and say, no, the whole purpose, like you're saying, is to help you phone, and therefore, you know, the candlesticks are there for what? To put the candle on them. So the candlesticks have a din of kli shel makel iser. And that's the more conventional understanding, that it's a kli shel makel iser. Again, like I said, there are extremes on both sides. You could say that it's more chamor, and that mean it being that if it's more chamor, mutzar chufu mekom is aser. Kli shel makel iser is mutzar mutzar chufu mekom. And if you say it's more kal, that it's just like a piece of art, then you can move it around because it's just there. Again, most people don't have candlesticks like that, but I know people who have candlesticks that are really essentially, you know, family heirlooms. And they're not soul makbid on them, but they don't use them. They don't use them to light candles. So anyway, if, like I said, it was lit Erev Shabbos, then the chor has a bit of a basis, and then you wouldn't be allowed to move them all of Shabbos. And we're going to see soon certain haterim in that respect. Okay, let's move on to Sif Gimel. L'tal tel ner al yedei shenosin olav lechem v'shabbos. So here's the hater. You want to put some lechem on the candelabra. Aser. V'imnosan olav lechem v'od yom yesh v'shamatel hakel v'shabbos al yedei lechem zev v'im nismach olav. So to put the lechem on Shabbos is too late. There's a special hater by a mace. Law later, a person snifter, so you put a kikar on the mace, even on Shabbos, you're allowed to move. That's a special heter for a mace, but we don't apply that to other areas. But there is a heter. I don't know if you ever see people like put their the chal is on the table before Shabbos starts. Well, where does that come from? Because once upon a time, people would light the candles on the table, and they didn't want the table to be muksa. They wanted to move the table after. So if the table, if there are challahs on the table, the table is a basis, so davar amutar, davar aser, v'yachar. It's a basis for the candles and for the challahs, and therefore, once it's a basis, davar mutar, davar aser, it's okay. Now, this is a huge discussion. The basis, davar mutar, davar aser, the chora, the mutar, davar has to be more valuable. So, how much do challahs cost? I don't know. Not so much. Yeah. And how much does the candelabra cost? So some say, well, it's not the candelabra, isn't really that. The candelabra is just a basis. Really, the iser, the davar aser is the wicks, or the flame. How much is the flame? Nothing. How much is the oil? Okay. Almost nothing. So the chalas the oil, the chalas the flame, you're in business. And some want to say, no, even the candelabra is its muksa. But still, the chalas, you need more. If you need them more on Shabbos, so mele, they're more valuable to you, you have to eat. So mele, it's not considered muksa. Because this whole heter actually was only going to help once upon a time, a goy would come and take off the candlesticks. Now the question was, is the table muksa? Today, goy would come into our house and move the candlesticks. It's not part of the, you know, the way we live.
Is there some mutter version of the thing with the chal? Because I feel like I'm familiar with it from something. People do something with the chal.
People leave chal on the table. But it's not really necessary anymore.
On the tray.
It's the same idea. If you want to have to use the tray later, it's only going to help if somebody took off the candelabra. So it's really not relevant anymore. It's like a minhag that still remains, you know, even though the tam doesn't apply anymore. Because nobody's... Even though I have the special, in the break front, there's a special place for the candles, and nobody's going to move it until after Shabbos, the mother puts on a piece of, an apple there to show her a challah, whatever. It's a very interesting minhag. I'm not familiar with what advantage it would, you know, would afford you, bisman hazeh, where nobody's moving it for all of Shabbos.
It would be like 100 years from now, they're still like putting silver foil on the outside of something.
They're like, maybe. The Seder, okay. Now, this Machlokas of how to define what's more valuable is very, very relevant to Halakha, not for what we're learning right now, but let's say you have a drawer, and you have your wallet in your drawer, and you have your Chumash. You're allowed to open up the drawer on Shabbos, because the Chumash is what you need. The wallet has $1,000. The chumash costs $50. So do you say that the chumash is what you need, it's more valuable? The pashas is not. But that's a debate in the poskim about the emotions you make. But it comes up. You know, if you store your muksa in a drawer, someone said you go to a hotel or something. So you have your wallet and you have your glasses. You know, so you have to make sure. It's better to be careful that your muksa isn't in the same drawer so you don't have these shailas of pasis, etc. Bis Seder. Moving on to Sif Dalit. Im hisna mi erev Shabbos al ner zeshit lenu v'yichve mutul tatla akar shechava. The chava reads that the tanai works. You can make a tanai that it shouldn't become muksa as a basis. So after it comes out, you can move it. V'yesh v'amit lo ha'ani tanai. The Ramazan some say the tanai doesn't work. V'chein v'hagim v'nisei. Lo v'din ha'tanai ha'in l'kaman. Before, the minhag was that a goy would come and move the candelabra, and then you can change the tablecloth, you can move the table. So says the Rama, it's not Isra Amira, because that was a minhag, and it's like you made a tanai. Even though we reject it tonight, but with the goy, we'll rely on the tanai. It's as if you made a tanai, and therefore it doesn't become muksa. Just one second. So the Mishabura points out, Bishar Basis Lever Aser, after Yashon Lomahani Tanai. Generally speaking, we don't say that by a Basis you can make a Tanai. It's just that since Aser Lechabos, that's why a Tanai works. Okay. It's not really a Basis because we knew it was going to go out. You know, sometimes it's not going to go. If your first night is your side candle, it's going to be all of Shabbos. But if it's something you're going to go out, so maybe that tonight works and it doesn't become a basis, these are discussions of Hilchos Muksa. But say, part of the challenge here when we learn Kaseder is that you have like certain simanim that deal with Muksa who aren't really, later on there's a whole discussion of Muksa here. It's kind of brought in Derech Agav. Fine. Moving on. Sif Hey. Ner Shehidlik B'Shabbos L'Chai V'L'Chol V'Yalda. Hachaya, v'nisapa chola. You lit a candle because it was pekuch nefesh. Fine. And now the pekuch nefesh is gone. The chola got better. Baruch Hashem. Mutal tatalim kava. So that wasn't muksa b'nishmashos. You lit it on Shabbos. It wasn't muksa b'nishmashos, so mela, the candelabra is not muksa. It's not a basis. V'hu adin l'madlik b'shabbos b'shogeg b'kavash mutal tatla. And likewise, the person lit on Shabbos b'mistake. He didn't know it was Shabbos. He lit a candle. So once it goes out, you're allowed to move the candelabra. So hakufa makomo. Because it didn't become a basis, it wasn't muksa b'nishmashos. If it's not muksa b'nishmashos, it doesn't become a basis for all of Shabbos. Okay. There's a discussion by a ner shel goy. Is a ner shel goy become a basis? Ber halacha in Shin Yod learns a ner shel goy doesn't become a basis. The Chaznish argues. It's an interesting discussion. It's like you need the ownership of the ner significant in the creation of a basis. Okay. Vav. Ner shelo hidlik bo ba'ose Shabbos afilu hu shal cheres demoyis afilu hu shal neft. If you didn't light it, but it's kind of gross. The masriach mutter tatlo. The muksa machas mios mutter. Right? There's a heter of muksa machas mios of like graf shel rei. Has a shame kli. It's a klish machtel iser. It's mutter la tatal tzarech gufo makoma. Just a second. The mishpura actually sounds like you need some tashmish heter to allow it. It sometimes happens when you light it and it's not lighting properly and it starts smelling. You ever see the candle or it's kind of on the side and it's like making all the smoke. Yeah. Sometimes. So there's a question there: is that like a heter of grash al rei? Can you apply that? Because it's unpleasant. Some say that it's only heter of most. But that the fact that you don't like it is not graf shel rei. It has to be more objective. And the fact that you have tsar, the make smoke, that's a different tsar. I mean, it's a big chiddush to me to say it's different. It's the same thing. But, okay. Fine. Zayin, menorah, ben gdol, miktana, yishol, prokim. They used to have these things that would put them together. The chashin shema tipo. Shema metaltal it. Because if the fall is going to break apart, you're going to put it back together. Today, most people's candelabras don't come apart. And if they do, they don't if they fall, they're not going to fall apart. It's not they're usually a strong chibur. So therefore, it's not really so relevant. But the concern here is something that's weakly attached. If you move it, even though, let's say, it's not muksa, it wasn't a basi, so you're moving the tzarech kufa mukomo. It's a klisha makla yisr. You're allowed to move the tzarech kufa mukomo. But if there's a concern that you might violate the Isser of Bona, then it's Aser. Nimsa Osa Kliv, Afilo Im Eina Shal Prakim, Yesh Pacharitzim, Safi Dome, the Prakim, Aser Tatla. So if this reality exists, it's Aser, but like I said, I don't think it's very relevant. Okay, moving on to Simen Reish Pei. Tashmish Amita B'Shabbos. Says the Mechaber, Tashmish Amita B'Tanuge Shabbos Hu. Tashmish Amita is considered an Oneg Shabbos. The Talmud Chacham, standard Talmud Chacham, should have relations once a week on Friday night. Again, the person shouldn't make themselves in the Talmud Chacham. It's usually a function of the relationship with their spouse and what they mutually are interested in. I think that standard is more frequent than that, you know, twice a week, three times a week, whatever the family, the couple is interested in. But there's an Indian to do it on Shabbos. Now, this Indian isn't always viable. If you're visiting somewhere, you don't have a place to yourself, you know, you're staying with their kids in the same room, it's not shayach. So there's a discussion of Tashlum and Mosei Shabbos. Again, it's all a function of what they couple wants. If they want, that's great. If they don't want, it's hard to say. It's like most of our relationships aren't like, you know, chiyavona. Like, what does a husband owe his wife? It's more like, you know, mutual consent. And that's, I think, the way it should be. But there is a discussion if Tom Chacham was mevatel his ona, so maybe he has an obligation to offer his wife in Motzei Shabbos. Okay. Anyway, like I said, I don't think it's so healthy to look at it as a chiyav, and that's generally not how we look at it. The Mishmur brings down that because of this Indian, the Takanas Ezra, to eat shum, to eat garlic on Friday night, because it's Mar Bezera. And the Mishmur brings down earlier in Seven Reish Mem a number of days where the minhag is not to have relations, like on Yontif. And if Yontif falls on Leil Shabbos, so it seems like this minhag of not having relations on like Leil Yontif would apply as well. So even though there's Indian on Leil Shabbos, if it happens to be Yontif, one of those days mentioned, those days, like I said, when we learned that, are days of Tamidus Chasidus, of the Kabbalah, and if a couple you know, hasn't fulfilled Puruvu yet, or is interested, you know, there's a Chashir or whatever, so the minhag is not to be so careful with those days of the Kabbalah. But if a person is careful about that, when Yontif falls on a Shabbos, so the Yontif trumps Shabbos. This Seder. Weiter. Base. A person is allowed to have relations for the first time with a basula on Shabbos. Even though she might bleed, today it's very rare that women bleed. And once upon a time, a woman got married much younger. A woman gets married when she's 20, so her hymen is already eroded, and the chances of her bleeding. It's very chances of very, very slim. But it could happen. There are people, women who bleed. So says the Mechaber, if you bleed, it's not a problem. The dam is mikvah pakid. It's a different type of bleeding. It's not iser chovel. It's not mishum tsar. That's true. If a woman is rachman and son raped, so there's a din of tsar pisuk raglayim. But when a woman has relations consensually, there's no tsar. It's halachically speaking, it's considered tsar when she's taking advantage of. When it's consensual, it's not considered tsar. So even though it might hurt a little bit, this is the first, if she has a relation, the first one got married on Friday, and they're trying to consummate the marriage on Friday night.
He's pointing out that it's not tsar.
Tsar al Shabbos. You're not supposed to be tsar on Shabbos. Just like you're not supposed to go on a boat, you know, on Friday because you're going to seasick. So maybe you think you shouldn't have relations on Shabbos because it's painful. So he says it's not called, it's not considered tsar.
Wait, we're not supposed to go on a boat on Friday?
We learned earlier, there's a discussion of, you know, if you're going to stay there for Shabbos. No, not you're going to come off. If you're starting a cruise.
Yeah.
On Friday, there's a discussion. Our cruise ships, you don't get seasick. Our cruise ships are very big. But if you're going on one of these boats, you're going up and down, you're going to start throwing up.
Cruise ship, you don't
get very... Yeah, right. Cruise ship is different. Anyway, Lemaisa, this it's very interesting. There's a din in Shulchan Aruch also about killing kinim. Can you kill a lice bug on Shabbos? So for the Gemara, it sounds like killing a lice bug, it's not really, it reproduces asexually, and therefore it wouldn't be considered iser to kill it. Now, today scientists say that's not true. They say it's a regular sexual reproduction. So there are... Right. So we don't think that's true scientifically. So some poskim say, well, no, that's not what the Gemara means. The Gemara just means the way it reproduces, it's not nikkur, and therefore, halachically speaking, it's not considered a beria, and you can kill it. And the same hetero would apply. But there are some, let's say, Wayu Rosh Hashivas will say, listen, the Gemara says it, but we know it's not true, so we should be machmir. We're not going to take science and be makil against the Gemara. But to take science and be machmir, that's okay. Some people think it's terrible to do that. Maybe you do that, the next thing you know, and you know, change everything. So, for example, like we have Plias Kalim. We know there are no Plias in our Kalim, you know, in most stainless steel. So you can say you can have the same pots for milchus of lasix. So some people suggested that, but nobody's gonna. It's not standard. It's not standard to suggest that. But to say we're going to be machmir, we're not going to kill kinim and Shabbos. So some people say that's great, and some people say no, that's reform. What are you doing? You can't be machmir. Even being machmir is wrong. Okay, they're different approaches. So I just want to point out that the people who are machmir not to kill lice, bugs on Shabbos. So I would have thought maybe they would be machmir also not to be bolo basul on Shabbos, because what does it mean dumb mikvah pocket? Scientifically, there's no difference between getting a scab, you know, getting a scratch, or the dam basulim. It's the same thing. It's not like the, you know. Now, the reason I think that lemaisa you don't have to be machmir even if you're a Torah ma'adamik is because many women don't see blood. Once upon a time, it was like a secretion; she'd see blood. Today, it's a good chance she won't see blood. I don't know the percentages, but I assume it's 80 plus of women don't see blood. So
is that really true?
I mean, yes, yes. I don't know. There are women who have like a very tough hymen that have to actually get it surgically removed. There's such a thing.
But 80%.
I think most women have a little discomfort. That's my understanding. My wife is a college teacher, so I don't have to ask her what she hears. But I think it also depends on how early people get married. Meaning, if a woman gets married when she's 30, chances are much less. If she got married when she's 18, you know, the chances are higher. So, you know, was she into gymnastics and, you know, horseback riding, or was she not? Meaning, like, it's a lot of variables. I really shouldn't talk about this. I don't really know, but my wife would probably know about this. You know, if you teach college,
that's
so then
why
you,
the whole sugya of Pesach Pesuach was able to like stand is because you had to actually deal with the reality of Pesach Pesuach, whereas nowadays it's okay,
right.
A big deal.
Exactly. You don't feel a difference. Anyway, I think that since it's not a psik reshe, again, I don't know what the percentages are, but it's not a psik reshe. So mele l'charji mutter, it's avshem iskavin. So even if you're a Torah madanik who doesn't want to, you know, rely on this heter of the Gemara because you think that scientifically it's not true, lemaisa, it's not a psik reshe, it's avshem iskavin, so mele l'charji mutter, nivol v'tchil l'vashach.
Could you do something like that where you know there's a possibility of being over a malachan?
Yeah, but that's a classic Davar Shem Iskavin. That's a classic Davar Shem Iskavin. You know, I'm pulling. No. I'm pulling a branch on Shabbos. You know, if it would just rain, so it's for sure going to make a charetz, then it's psikreshe. But if it didn't just rain, so I don't know how moist the ground is. It's not clear. So I'm pulling the branch, and it makes a charetz. It's not my problem. It's Davar Shem Iskavin. It's not psikreshe. So then the Chara should be mut. There is a discussion about an almana. If a person marries an almana, so he should be married to the yichur. Right? He shouldn't be boala almana on Shabbos. It's right later on in Simon Shin Lamites, because maybe there the bia. By basula, the yichur is kona. But by almana, it could be you need the Bia to be kona, so if it's almana, maybe you shouldn't. Okay. Yeah. And Shin Lamed Tes Hey. Just pull it up 1 second. Shin Lamed Tes Hey. It actually sometimes happens because people in their second marriages, you know, they sometimes do a small event like on Friday. Like, you know, it's not like. So Shin Lamed Tes Hey, the Mechaber says, Hakonis is almana, la yavala bia rishona. Lo b'Shabbos, lo b'Yontif. Right, that's in Furish in Shulchan Aruch, in Lamed Beis, in Shin Lamed Tes. And there's a big Mishabura here. Tam the Almano of Grusha, Kimishi Ula Ikra Kini the Grusha of Bia, not the Chupa. Okay, later. So that comes up as well. Fine. Moving on to Simen Reish Pei Aleph. Ein Lishkos B'Velachalocha An. It's interesting, the way the Mechaber presents it, it's like you're not supposed to bow down, this is a nishmas. You know, because Chazal said him, they were sakin to bow down at the beginning of Shemana Esrei, at the end of Shemana Esrei, you shouldn't add to the bows. The pashas is that this has nothing to do with it, it's not like against Chazal's call, it's just Pesukah de Zimra. So you're allowed to, it's just you don't need to. But the Mechaber sounds like you really shouldn't. Okay. I mean, we bow during Leinu. We bow and people bow in Kaddish. People according to the Gra. Okay.
Bow during Kaddish?
No, according to the Sfarim, do there's different minhagim. I think after the Gra you don't. There's different minhagim in Kaddish. Some people. Okay, moving on. The Mechaber says Nahagin Shabbos Achin Yosef Lavo Beis Knesses. We call davening is a little bit later on Shabbos. Here in the yeshiva, we're makud on that, right? Davening is. We should be the Tavi Shalz Yimosel Chol Nemar Avoker. Esel Shabbos Nemar Yom Shabbos Tamashma Ichor for Yom Shabbos, right? Nahagin. So I was once in the yeshiva, when I was a bacher, and Lukalzin wanted to give muster to the guys. He said Friday night, this mention is full. Shabbos day. Shabbos morning, half the people aren't here. Where is everybody? Then I realized that there's Vasikin Shabbos morning. Some people are Vasikin. Because what happened with that, with Avni, the Shabbos morning, I think it was like 7:30, 7:15. It was pretty early. And there was like a minion at 8:30. And the minion at 8:30 was like a fast minion. So they'd finish the same time as the Shiva minion, and they'd come to lunch. So he said, I don't know, people are here Friday night. There's over here Shabbos morning. Oh, we stop everybody's Vasikin. He was saying it like, you know, sarcastically. But Lemaisa, there's in and down a little bit later on Shabbos. He still allows down Vasikin, meaning there's a hitter down Vasikin. But there's an inyan daven sleep a little more. And the hagel harvest was zmiros. People sing zmiros. V'chol mokum v'chini hagel. V'chol davar im lo amro in maksirin osav v'vad im lo amro kelash hashavas. All these zmiros, all these piyutim are ma'akev. But the kelash hashavas is in the pesuke in the birchas kriyashma, right? The piyut, the kelash hashavas, that you're chozer. What do you mean you're chozer? It means that after davening you should say that piyut. V'yesh ma'achre l'harich l'hani b'zmiros. You can daven nicely, slowly. Saying in limchos ba ma'arich v'em aval pisha mocha mechavin v'shun bittel Torah. Interesting. So davening is davening. You shouldn't say, oh, you're having too long. Davening long is beautiful. And even there's no chashash of bittel Torah. Kolakom v'shabes yontav liyarech yosir midai kedei sheyochal kodem shashishis. But you shouldn't daven. So this is an issue of something in the winter. You know, you start at the 8:30 minyan, 9 o'clock minyan. By the time you're done, it's 11:30, and chatzos is like 11:20 sometimes in the winter, you know, so this could be an issue. You shouldn't fast chatzos. You should make kiddush. In the past, the discussion is enough to make kiddush, you should actually have a suda, you should wash different days. The Seder.
Why is this in the
sermon? This is like an introduction to tefillah. I mean, we're talking about, like, you know, Pirsa Torah soon, so it's about the
we talk about slow davening, though. Don't we hold tefillah to see where that?
Obviously, you have to. It's not fair if the chazan is not working with the tzibur. The tzibur wants that. It's the karblocks. They want to. They want to. You know.
Too fast. It's tzibur also.
Yeah, 100%. 100%. Okay. So Mirtzah Hashem will pick it up next week.